Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Southfield, Michigan, and earned a BA degree in psychology and a master's degree in social work from the University of Michigan. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Uliance, Inc., which for the last 25 years has promoted behavioral health care issues and its impact on business. His motto is CANI, which stands for Continuous and Never-Ending Improvement. His name, Kent Cherokee, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Kent Cherokee, President and CEO of Uliance, Inc., which today serves nearly 1 million employees and family members throughout the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and Europe, including many Fortune 500 companies. Kent, how was it you started Uliance, Inc. in 1989?
Well, when I was in college, I had a lawn service, and then when I graduated from graduate school, I actually sold that lawn service and started buying some real estate. And so I really, with my energy level and my past experience, I really liked being an entrepreneur. There were no limitations. I didn't quite understand the 18-hour days that would be in my future. So it was a good thing that I didn't know then what I know now. It would have been detrimental to continuing. But I was looking into what type of business would be aligned with my profession. So going into the psychology, the counseling field, I looked at a number of different areas. One would be owning an outpatient clinic. But at that time, Blue Cross, being the dominant health carrier in this area, you had to buy a Blue Cross outpatient clinic license because they only issued so many. And that would have been a couple million dollars, which I was short slightly by a couple million dollars to purchase that. So I was looking at other opportunities. And about that time, the employee assistance field, which had been about 10 years old, was really gaining steam. And what employee assistance is a number of different services, but primarily counseling for any type of personal or work-related problem or issue that an employee or a dependent might have. And so employers at that time were beginning to recognize more and more that if an employee, which, you know, many employer mottos claim that employees are your most valuable asset, right? So the employers actually began to look at ways to create healthy, productive employees, and they saw that there was a business case to be made for that. So I began to investigate what employee assistance programs were, what the values were. I did an internship at Henry Ford Health System in their internal employee assistance program. And then I began in graduate school to write my business plan. It took me about 2 years.
How did you come up with the name Uliance?
Well, originally the name was Team, and my wife came up with that name. So, but the problem was for the first 14 years, we were Team Employee Assistance. And we started providing additional types of services, HR-type services related to our core business, such as wellness programs, outplacement programs, training programs, executive coaching, things of that nature. But we were typecast as TEAM, EAP, stands for Employee Assistance Program. And so we talked to a couple marketing companies, and they suggested we change our name. So for a brief stint, 2-3 years, we were Team Human Capital Solutions because our client companies, over 250 of them, we had long-term relationships with them, many of them 20 years old, and they would go to our competitors to implement wellness programs or outplacement services and not think about that we did that. So we were kind of like Henry Winkler on Happy Days. He was the Fonz. He was typecast and didn't do a lot of work after Happy Days, unfortunately. So we made the leap about 3-4 years ago to really just change the name completely. And Uliance is a combination of unity and alignment, which is what our goal is with our client companies.
You do a series of things, and those services have changed over the course of the 25 years. Tell us about how the offerings have changed.
Well, as mentioned, the first 14 years, all we provided was employee assistance programs, so working with employees, coaching, counseling, and then also working with their management personnel. So things such as crisis intervention, things of that nature. And we have a 24-hour crisis line. Crisis don't always occur between 9 and 5, we have found out. And so looking really to broaden our reach, we have, as I mentioned, a lot of very long-term client companies that know us, like us, and trust us. And so with that trust, we thought, are there additional services we can offer a family of services versus an individual service? So we did an extensive survey with about 2,000 of our client primary contacts, primarily HR and benefit professionals, and had about 15 different types of services and surveyed them about what they would see us doing. Number one, the market has to give you permission to enter into a new service line, whether you're good at it or not. And so the first one was training and a service that our clients would purchase. So we have about 50 different soft skill training programs, supervisory training for new supervisors, stress management, sexual harassment, a lot of diversity types of trainings. And then we expanded from there.
If you want to learn more, www.uliance, uliance.com. Uliance.com. Kent, the latest piece of the puzzle, the latest offering, was the addition last year of a comprehensive wellness program.
Right. Wellness is very popular and very confusing. So I really was not interested in getting into wellness. Initially, I viewed it as a healthcare product. And finally, a trusted HR VP that I know very well looked at me in the eyes one day, and she said, "Kent, for being such a smart guy, you're really pretty stupid for not getting into wellness." And so I, of course, had ample reasons why I didn't feel that was a good fit for Uliance, and you know that it was medically based, and that's really what the healthcare carriers and the medical professionals should focus on. And she really brought insight to me that wellness is really about behavioral change. And most of us know how to eat well, that we're supposed to exercise 3 times a week, 30 minutes, you know, each time, et cetera. My kids, when they were growing up, now Grant 20 and Elise 18, but when they were 10 and 8, they would put sugar on Frosted Flakes. And they knew better than that. So knowing better doesn't always create us to do better. So the HR professional made the case that we're in the behavioral change business. We're in the business of helping people to make changes in their life, consistent long-term changes that they want to make, but they struggle to make those. And so lo and behold, we started providing wellness. We offer behavioral wellness coaching, and it's been very successful.
Kent, how prevalent is depression in the workplace today?
Depression is extremely prevalent. Most people, and I would be the same also if I wasn't in the mental health employee assistance field, believe that the person who is depressed is the person who is suicidal. And that's certainly true. A lot of people, when Robin Williams recently took his own life, were shocked by that. And he talked a lot about substance abuse challenges over the years, but never really much about depression. The reality is about 10% of people suffer from depression. and that's long-term chronic depression. The other reality is 100% of us experience depression from time to time. That's just part of being human. There are things that happen in life that are positive, exciting, rewarding, and there are things that happen in life that are detrimental. People we love pass away. So employers have really more and more come away from what I call the John Wayne School of Management, which is we don't have any problems here. And as more progressive CEOs and C-suite people have entered into those roles, they acknowledge the reality of being human. And therefore, as an employer, you know, I'm a big control guy. So as an employer, I always like to influence things versus I don't have any control of them, and so therefore they don't exist.
Uliance experienced 38% growth this past year. And if you want to learn more, www.uliance.com. Uliance will celebrate its 25th anniversary in a little more than a month.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll talk to Kent about that milestone. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasoola, and we're with Kent Sharkey. Kent, 151 years ago, Abraham Lincoln gave us the Thanksgiving Proclamation, and it ended this way. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelt in the heavens. What are you most thankful for 151 years later?
Wow, that's a very deep question. And to give that some thought, my family, my immediate family, my wife Sue, my son Grant, daughter Elise, in 25 years of business, we've seen a lot of ups and downs. We've seen the Great Recession. We've seen other challenges. And my family, my immediate family, has been my rock. And when you look at the outside world, whether it's your neighborhood, whether it's your city, whether it's your state, whether it's your country, there are so many things that you just don't control. And you can't even influence them. So to have my family is a base to go back to has been very thankful. I have two kids, one at the University of Michigan, although I'm not inclined to talk about football this year. Maybe next year, and then a daughter at Central Michigan, and they are good people. They're productive citizens. They've gone on mission trips to Haiti because they've requested that. They've been brought up with means different than me. They've not been spoiled. I think a good value system's important, and I'm most thankful for those relationships. The success in business, that's all superficial, Jack. At the end of the day, I don't care how much money you have, how much you've achieved, that's not what's most important.
If there's a listener this evening that has a job in the C-suite that says, yes, our people have issues, but Kent, we don't have the dollars for employee wellness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I think if they analyze the data in terms of their behavioral and medical health care costs, they would find that they're already spending those dollars, although they have no influence on that. Meaning, when you send somebody to the counseling or medical outside of the EAP, it now goes into the healthcare plan. And particularly if you're a large employer and you're self-funded in your health care plan, those are dollars that add up very quickly. With the employee assistance program, we have designed a particular model. We refer to it as a resolution model that resolves 94% of issues within. Most people, Jack, don't need long-term psychotherapy. They're like our friends, our relatives, our neighbors. My wife is one of 12 kids, so there's 30 people just in our immediate family. And let me tell you, there's always challenges. They're great family, but they're human, as I mentioned earlier. So I think the C-suite people really need to take a step backwards and evaluate what's truly most important and what a very small investment into their people for great potential returns.
25 years ago, you went and started a business, and you started working 18 hours a day, but you did get to decide which 18 hours each day you were going to work.
I did.
Talk to us about entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneur. So if I could write myself a letter today that I would have opened when I was 24, what I would say in there is be realistic. Don't fall in love with your idea and assume everybody else will. Okay? Many of the mistakes I made early on were because I fell in love with the idea and assumed that people that would purchase this idea. If I would go back 25 years ago, I'd say, Kent, look at what's going to bite you. Okay, the good stuff takes care of itself. The growth takes care of itself. Look at the risks and what can you do to mitigate the risks. So many times risks are so uncomfortable that we deny them or we minimize those. But it's the risk who will destroy you. And I just heard recently that in the Great Recession, 170,000 businesses went out of business from 2009 to 2010. The other statistics about starting a business is that 90% of them fail in the first year. Of those 10% that made the first year, 5 years later, 90% of them have failed. So it's not for the faint at heart. There's blood, sweat, and literally tears. There's many sleepless nights. And you have to have the psychological makeup, I believe, because owning your own company or being entrepreneurial can take over your life and literally destroy it. I've seen many of what we would call, from a societal standpoint, successful entrepreneurs, which means they are wealthy, they have business growth, and then you walk inside their life and they have no relationship with their kids. They don't know their wife, or they're on their third wife. They're in emotional and physical poor health, and what I call emotionally bankrupt.
Kent, talk to us about the role small businesses play in America today.
Well, it is a political period of time here, and you hear many politicians supporting small business. Most of the small business people I talk to don't experience that directly. So it's a popular slogan to support small business. And the reality is that small business are the fastest segment of businesses that are employing people. And so they're critically important, and really depends how you define small business. That can be defined by an individual consultant or a manufacturing company that has 150 employees. So they play a critical role in the economy and in the American way of life.
As I look at small businesses, auto dealers, etc., they are some of the most giving people in the communities, in their communities, with the Little League, the Girl Scouts, every cause. Kent, why is that?
Well, I think there's two reasons. One reason is they are able to give back. And many very successful entrepreneurs started from nothing, as I came from very meager financial beginnings. And so they appreciate what that's about. you know, the Southfield Goodfellows helped us out. We'd get a basket at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and, you know, occasionally I'd get taken to a football game or a hockey game. I remember that. And so I think those experiences lend to giving back. I think the other reason is it just feels really good to give back. You know, I work out on a regular basis, and people say, oh, gosh, I hate working out. That's terrible. And from a selfish standpoint, it's not that I love working out. I just feel good physically, emotionally. And I think that's similar to when you give back and you genuinely help out a cause, whether it's Make-A-Wish, whether it's Easter Seals, Focus Hope, what have you. There's just many, many fine charities to participate in.
We're talking to Ken Sharkey, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Kent Sharkey, the president and CEO of Uliance Inc., which in 1 month will celebrate its 25th anniversary. First, congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you, Jack.
Your motto is, can I? Please.
Continuous and never-ending improvement, which, by the way, as noble as that sounds, it oftentimes drives people in my life a little crazy. I think that we've looked around at different people, and everybody thinks they do an excellent job, both in and outside of work. And so the term good enough, gets the job done, feels complacent to me. And I'm driven to improve things. I don't know if that's genetically engineered or if that was a product of my environment. But the reality is I think there's always room for improvement. And I think so many times people hear that means it's not good enough. And things can be very good. There's a bestseller book called Good to Great. And that's really what we strive to do.
Speaking of continuous and never-ending improvement, in business and life today, the only constant is change. Talk to us about embracing rather than running away from change.
I think human beings are interesting because they are motivated to survive, which means that they have to change with the environment that they're in. However, security comes from being consistent. That means things are predictable. You can determine your response. So there's this tug of war, I think, that goes on with people. And I experienced that myself. You know, we have in our industries, technology is very quickly replacing people contact. And so apparently I'm old school because I believe in looking somebody in the eye and having conversation and really rolling up your sleeves and helping people achieve whatever goal it is that they bring to the table. But so much of technology is attempting to replace that. And so I've been slow to change from a technological standpoint, other than our internal software programs and such. But in terms of offering service to the general employee population. And so I've recently, over the last year, have come to the conclusion that, you know what, if somebody wants to access service via a telephone, via a web app, via the internet, or to sit in front of our counseling staff face-to-face, we really need to embrace that client where they're at, not where I think they should be.
Speaking of old school, your clients that you and your team serve each day are hiring more and more millennials.
Yes.
You and Sue are blessed with two millennials. Tell us, Kent, about millennials.
Well, it's an interesting group of people. I recall a year ago my son texting my daughter while they were in the same room. And another experience, my son played football for Avondale High School, and there were eight of his football buddies outside around a campfire. I walk outside, not a single one of them are talking to each other. They're all texting somebody else who's not there. So I commented about the company must not be very good here if you need to go outside. So again, embracing that it's different, it's unique, and that's always going to be the case. I mean, every generation, you know, there were generations who didn't like Elvis Presley and thought he was immoral and wouldn't watch him. And then there was a generation of people who were against rock and roll. So millennials are no different, I think, than many generations. They like their free time. I think they've seen parents that have dedicated themselves to work. And in the Great Recession, they saw some of those employers not continue with that employment commitment. And so they've seen that life is short. And I think they work hard and they play hard. They have good ideas. I think they're very engaged. I think the challenge is millennials at this point are not in managerial roles. So you do have a bit of a generational split. Millennials do not want to work 18 hours a day.
The saying, "Don't tell me how much you know until you show me how much you care." As a leader, Kent, how do I do this?
I think it's the little things. I mean, there's a lot of programs that employers can put into place for recognition, things of that nature. And at Uliance, we are not immune from this. A constant theme is that we never get enough recognition. We never get enough praise. We never get enough that of boys. And the reality is there's a lot of recognition that goes on. We have programs internally. We have a program called SPOT, that's service provided over the top. When we hear client companies that make positive comments about our individuals, it is an endless bucket that leaders must always fill. And you can never fill it enough. It's like being too happy. There's no such thing.
Talk to us about servant leadership.
I think servant leadership, a lot of organizations use that word. It's pretty popular and noble. I think actions, my mother, one of her favorite things were actions speak louder than words. And I think our leadership team, I've experienced it time and time again, we're willing to roll our sleeves up. I don't ask anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. Since starting the company, I've done every job, I've held every position at Uliance, and I know the importance of that. And so the more that our leadership team can help and support our staff to do their job well, the better they're going to be with our customer, which ultimately is the better for everybody. We're not perfect. We'll never be. No organization is, but we continuously strive for better.
As we end this Thanksgiving weekend, Kent, God has really blessed you and your family. Talk to us about the role faith has played in your life.
Well, it's played different roles over the years. I was raised Catholic, baptized, confirmed, went through catechism. And after my father passed away, there was a lot of soul searching. How could a all-loving, all-powerful God do this to a young family? And so over the years, it's been a struggle off and on. Throughout college, taking many science courses, there's certainly scientific philosophies about mankind, if you will, through evolution. So I continue to evolve in my thinking, my evaluation of what spirituality is. I think many times people believe spirituality is religion. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. I have 130 acres up north in a log cabin, and it's very spiritual to go out into the woods. I call it cleaning the woods. There's a lot of debris, a lot of fallen trees, and my wife thinks that's kind of crazy, which is fine, but I like going out there with the chainsaw and cleaning the woods, and it's gratifying after you're at peace. I'm at peace with nature. And if you really stop to listen, you can hear the harmony in nature.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice, Kent, do you give our young listeners?
Wow. in 1 minute or less, be willing to seek out advice from other people. So many times I find that young people, as I was one of those, knew almost everything and didn't seek out advice nearly enough. If I can ask somebody who's been there, done that, their experience, I might agree with it, I might not, but it gives me a perspective that I can't get just from myself. And I see younger people are reluctant, as I was, to seek out opinions. Doesn't mean you have to follow them, but the more opinions you get, I think it gives you a jump start in life. It gives you some mentorship, if you will.
Kent, you and your company are serving 260 organizations with nearly a million people. Thanks much to you, your team, for helping those people, making them better people. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahoma.